This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
On the evening of November 3rd, Election Day, I ran a three-hour program with special guests each hour. The third and final hour of that program had Robert Patrick Lewis, a Special Forces veteran who has served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and parts of Africa. He is also the founder of 1A Praetorian, which is a group assembled to protect those that are vocal in defending the First Amendment. Even though these interviews are delayed, their content is relevant, and I hope you enjoy the discussions. Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson. I am the director and producer of the war documentary, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything. And you're listening to episode 146, live stream, election night, an interview with Robert Patrick Lewis. If you always thought the doom and gloom crowd was ridiculous, you're probably not laughing now. But we're not here to say we told you so. We're here to help you. Your biggest problem is food. With so much chaos nationwide, how will you get enough food if chaos breaks out in the weeks and months ahead? The grocery stores can't keep up. That's why those who act now and get at least 4 weeks' supply of emergency food shipped to them fast will be the ones who are secure. I strongly recommend My Patriot Supply, the only source I personally use and trust for my emergency food preparedness plan. You can too. They're the go-to experts in emergency preparedness. Their mission is your survival. And right now, you can save $100 off a full 4 weeks' supply of their nutritious meals that supply 2,000 calories a day. This will save your life in times of crisis if food disappears from the grocery store shelves. And saving $100 is impossible to pass up. So go to preparewithbardsofwar.com and get ready today. That's preparewithbardsofwar.com or click on the link below. There's no time to lose.
Patriots, when Twitter lists out and tells you who the only official sources are that can report the news of the election and call the election, and every single one of them is corporate-owned and mainstream media-owned, you know the fix is in on that level. We have to stay completely true with our faith. We have to stay completely trusting in our president. And we just take the walk the way it comes. I mean, whatever that happens. But we know very well that we are not going to accept the fix, period. That's just end of story. And we are going to stand as patriots. We have the tools to fight an information war like nobody. We have organized, we've revitalized our spirit. I see so many amazing comments tonight about patriots just saying, look, I'm here. I'm going to give everything I can to this nation. That's true patriotism. Patriots, by the American standard, we are defiant. We do not accept tyrants. We will fight for what is true. We will fight for faith and stand with God, and we will fight and defend for our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. It's literally that simple. And the left, no matter what they do, they are a minority. By my own estimates, we only have about 20% of the vote that will go to Biden. So if we're seeing more than that, I'm not buying it. And if we're seeing more of that, then there's been a ton of manipulation down at some level. I know that there's been a lot of discussion because it came up on another site. I'm slipping the name, but it was Project Hammer, which is a CIA tool. The only thing I can keep saying is keep in mind that a lot of the issue the left does is disinformation. They love to throw this stuff out. They love to present these information, this bits of like inside stuff right at the very end. It leaks out. And I'm not taking it away from anybody who is talking about these tools, but it's the timing is always suspect to me. I'll be very honest. When the timing is right before the election or right on the cusp of the election and suddenly we're hearing about, oh, guess what? There's a secret CIA tool that the Democrats are using. Look, that's the same, just so you know, that's the same nonsense they were doing in 2016. And since then, there's been 4 years to get our hands around the true intelligence apparatus that was manipulating this. We know that through the Q board that there's been a great deal of back-end work, right, to clean that up. So we have to have some trust in that. And quite frankly, wherever this goes, it goes. But we are going to stand strong as patriots because this is truly what America is. We are fighting for the nation and the world. It's that simple. And if we accept, I guess it goes just very much like this. If we are going to accept a Biden win, that means we are going to accept perpetual masks. We are going to accept mandatory dirty vaccines. We're going to accept a total tyranny. And I don't think there's a single person listening tonight that will accept that. And I would argue that if the liberals really woke up and understood, they wouldn't either. Well, here's our next guest. Stand by. Robert, can you hear me?
Hey, brother, I can hear you. I can actually hear you in two places. I listened to you before I called in.
That's great.
And I got to tell you, that's Ronnie Reagan. That's a tough act to follow, brother.
Well, I chose that just for you. I just so you know, of all the places that the speeches that I could give, I thought that was appropriate for the type of conversation we're going to have. Now, Robert, I got to tell you up front, just because we had a bit of a shift in schedule tonight, we're going to have to close out tonight a little bit early, about 15 minutes, but I also want patriots to know, I'd like you to come back on next week on Tuesday on the live show, if you would, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tonight, let's talk a little bit. Robert, give us a little bit about yourself for patriots that don't know you, and then a little bit about what you're doing too, because you're doing some great work right now.
Yeah. You know, it's been an interesting life. I was adopted as an infant. My parents were really, really young when I was born. Thankfully, I hit the adoption lottery. I got raised by a strong religious military family, very patriotic. I was actually going to be the first guy in my family not to join the military. I watched my mom die of cancer when I was a preteen, and it really threw me off the deep end. And I got into a lot of trouble. You know, I kind of went down the dark path for a while. And my kind of faith in my family got me back on track. And time to graduate from high school, my dad and I sat down, had a conversation. We agreed I wasn't going to go to a service academy. I wasn't going to go to the military. And then I went to college in Texas, and then 9/11 happened my sophomore year of college. And found my way to the recruiter station. I was actually supposed to be a ranger, but then I went to MEPS and they asked me if I wanted to do this thing called the 18 X-ray program. That allowed me a guaranteed slot to try out for special forces. And I said, hey, you know what? Let's leave it all in the line. Let's give it a shot. I made it through. Spent about 8 years total in special forces. Did two Iraq trips, two Afghanistan trips, and a North Africa trip. I feel like I had an entire life in special forces, even though it wasn't the majority of my life. I feel like that's where I was truly raised. I got to see so much about life. I learned to take so much more seriously. I learned how many things that we take for granted in this country. You go to North Africa or, you know, off the beaten path in Afghanistan, and you really learn how good we have it, but also how fickle life is and just how much of a gift it is to be here in America, to be alive, to have a good family, to have food to eat. Really made me appreciate the world a lot better, America especially. After I got out, done a lot of different things, written a couple of books. I've worked all over private sector, but for the last several months, I've been working on First Amendment Praetorian, which is the group you were mentioning, which is a group of military, law enforcement, and intelligence community vets. And we provide pro bono intelligence and security service for grassroots religious and patriotic events. We want to make sure that Americans are free from violence and intimidation when they want to express their constitutionally enshrined God-given First Amendment rights and come together and worship together or celebrate together or just profess that they love America together.
Well, that's awesome, Robert. It really is. And I mean, what I think patriots need to hear is this message that, you know, there's always, we've heard this, and you and I've talked about this recently, even on the show with Patriot Transition Voice, is how there's been a lot of this, where's the military? And we've been here. I mean, I don't think there's any question. It's just that this type of fight isn't just a military fight. This is a fight of American patriots all across the board. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And that's the great thing about our society. You know, people don't understand just the necessity and the vital role that the American people and public have played in this nation. Just how many times in our very beginning, if it hadn't been for Minutemen and militia, our nation would never have become its own nation. That's, you know, the Second Amendment. Anybody who tries to tell you it's about hunting and you don't need an AR-15 for hunting does not know or is lying to you about why it was started. Admiral, is it Hirohito? To invade America would be insanity because behind every blade of grass would be hidden a gun. That's part of our culture. You know, people try to point to Piers Morgan and in the UK. Well, the reason that we are here is because we fought off the tyrants from the UK and Great Britain. We are our own nation. We have a very strong culture of rebellion and throwing off the shackles of tyranny. We're a Christian-based, that's our foundation of this nation. But the right to religious liberty is ingrained into everything about our society. And isn't it odd that the largest religion in our society is the single one that seems to be ostracized, the single one that they, you know, don't want to include freedom of religion for, the largest one, and the one that was kind of the onus, the creating force for our nation. It's just a strange place to be in. And I think it's important for us as Americans to kind of embrace our history and stand up and protect the Republic and do what we can. This isn't the military's job, right? If you see the United States military rolling down Main Street, you're in a bad spot. We as Americans.
Wow, that's really well said. I think patriots really need to hear that, is that, you know, as General Flynn came on earlier, for all of you that weren't here, his comment was towards that point, is that we are fighting a fight through information and a peaceful reestablishment of the country's power. And we're not seeing that military roll down the streets. And I know, Robert, you and I absolutely agree on that, that would be a dark moment, right?
Yeah, it would. And things only get ugly after that.
It definitely does. So I tell you, I'm going to call you out on something, Robert, in a good way. So bear with me. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. But I want to talk to patriots a little bit about integrity and in the special forces in particular. And so I'm very clear. I'm not a Green Beret. Robert is. It's a huge honor. I worked with Green Berets in what I did, and that itself was a huge honor. But there was something that happened the other night on a show, and it was at the end of the show in the Q&A. And we were asked, Robert and I each were asked, what scriptures we had recently read. And I gave my explanation. I had recently been reading Ephesians. Now, this is what I want to point out. And this is what I call ultimate integrity. Robert had no reason other than to say, I've been reading this or this scripture is important to me. But he didn't say that. He actually said, I have to admit that at the moment, I'm not reading a lot of scripture. I've been very involved in a lot of things. And patriots, I want you to understand, and I'm going to let Robert talk a little bit about this, of the level of integrity that takes to even in a point when you have no reason to speak a pure truth that you do, and you do so because it's the only way forward. If you don't do that, no one can ever trust you. Your team can't trust you, and even you don't hide anything. Robert, can you add a little bit about that on the way a team works?
Yeah, well, and firstly, that's the most, I think, one of the most integral things that has been ripped away from the fabric of our society. And one of the reasons we see so many things breaking down is this loss of not only face-to-face communication. The way that humans were built is we read verbal cues from each other. We read body cues and social cues, and we understand each other because we're social beings. We lost face-to-face communication. We also lost trust in each other because so much of our society is fake now. So much of it has just completely washed away from all substance or reality. And on a team, you cannot have that. A team is a family, but you know, an ODA, an Operational Detachment Alpha, a Green Beret, is one of our key components. Is we're supposed to be able to be dropped off in an adversarial foreign nation and have 12 men go and link up with rebel forces, train them, and overthrow a dictator, overthrow an entire nation. So when there's only 12 of you, you have 11 other people, you have to be able to trust each other implicitly. Implicitly, you are amongst enemies all the time. When we were in Afghanistan, we had our Afghan forces, and we even had guys there that would be honest with us and say, hey, we were Taliban a few months ago, but you guys pay better. You know, like you're surrounded on all sides by enemy as a part of that job being behind enemy lines and, you know, being places where our government typically won't even admit that we have American forces. You know, that's, people know about Iraq, Afghanistan, some stuff going on in other parts of the world. We have Green Berets all over the world in places that Americans have no idea we're currently engaged because there's all these different jobs. And when you're doing something like that, we send guys to countries where there's two Green Berets and they're the only Americans in theater, right? So that's, you really got to learn to trust the person on your left and your right. And if you are not trustworthy and you catch people telling untruths or not being blatantly honest, it's cause for dismissal. It's caused a, what we call the duffel bag drag. You come up to the team room and your bag is just sitting out front door, and that's their way of telling you, hey, bud, find somewhere else, get your act together. And that really, I mean, when your life is on the line and you know you're in that kind of situation where the man to your left and your right may very well be the difference between life and death for you, you want to ensure you can trust that person, not just in action, not just in chaos and trouble, but in every aspect of your life.
And that's something you just, you hit on at the very beginning of that. That's really something that has been stripped away from our daily life. I know I just had a patriot here that asked the question to that nature. I'm going to rephrase it, but basically, how does one, and the question was, how does one go through and hold that integrity on a daily life? And I want to let you kind of answer that, because you're taking, you've come from that culture, and that's the only way it is, and you're in it. You're in this other culture now where integrity, especially with politics and all the information that's going on with our media, there is no such thing as integrity. So what's that walk that one has to do to really hold that line?
You know what? My fiance has a great way of expressing this to me, because, you know, every once in a while, people can step away from that edge of walking the straight path. And she'll always tell me, we have kids, we have four kids. And I, to me, family is everything, right? My being adopted, losing my mom that raised me at such a young age, family is everything for me. I ended up leaving the Army because I wanted a family. I wanted a family of my own more than anything in the world. And so if she sees me getting off of that straight path for whatever reason, skipping a day working out or, you know, whatever it is, she'll say, hey, what would you say to your kids? What would you say to your kids if your son was doing this right now? And that's the way to hit me. That's the way to cut me right to the bone, right? Because that's being, I think, a father is one of the most important things that somebody can have. And that's a father's job, is to teach courage, but also teach truthfulness and teach dedication and teach all these important things. And, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of judge my kids, like, would I want my son on my ODA with me when he gets older? And that's the way that she gets me, man, is it's a really strong, insightful look, is what would you do if your son said or did what you just did?
I think that's a great guide. And I think it's a great guide, even if people don't have children, it's just the understanding of what do you want to be as a person that is represented to a youth when they look up to you? I think that's a powerful place. Robert, you're in a different type of fight now. I mean, I would say it was probably less of a transition for me, because everything I did was in the information space, as we've discussed before. But you've stepped in from really this elite operation where you're building counter defenses or counter operations to an evil. And now you're stepping into what is truly that civilian side, and you're trying to build a network of using those skills and transitioning those skills to use that in a way that supports this digital information war. What was that transition like, and is it still a challenge to you?
You know, I started it, I think, a lot earlier than I ever thought that I did. I've written four books now, and each of my books, you know, the nonfiction is nonfiction. It's just what happened. But each of my fiction books, I've been slowly trying to bring in things that, you know, I've been digging and researching my entire life into things that didn't seem to add up for me, things where I felt that what we were taught or what we were told were not entirely accurate. I've always, what 10 years ago were called conspiracy theories, and what, you know, in the last couple of months, the last year, would be the thing that we just learned about was true, right? And so each of these books that I've written, I've tried to straddle that line with slowly opening people's eyes to things that maybe they don't know about. I talk about, you know, that there's a big part of the PAC trilogy has to do with deep underground military bases and, you know, all these different kind of shadow groups that exist around the world, and slowly opening people's eyes up to that. So when we got to this stage in the information warfare, when we got the charge to be digital soldiers under General Flynn. I had already kind of straddled that line a little bit, but on the physical pages of a book rather than the digital pages. And I had been, you know, using social media and stuff to help promote my books. And I had actually been classically trained. I have a marketing undergrad before I went to the Army. So I understand the data behind it. I understand marketing and messaging and things like that. And so once we really took on this charge and started this fight, it was just a matter of taking all these things that I had, right? What information is out there? Where's an audience that is not being currently met? You know, so we have people that will come straight out and they'll recite cue drops. We have other people that'll dig and they'll dig and dig and dig and have just insane amount of information and connections and numbers and things that they take from that aspect. I feel like my part of this war was reaching this other group, this large population out there that either they're not on social media. So even though if you're on Twitter or Facebook, it's hard to realize, but most people aren't there. There's still a lot of people out in the greater world that still get their news from articles or books or newspapers or, you know, magazines or whatever it is. And even those people on social media, that the moment they hear Q, they turn off, right? Cognitive dissonance. They don't want to hear anything else. So I felt like my job was kind of taking these different things, these different parts of this truth that we've learned, these things that we know, using the marketing background and that writing background I have to reach this other group that is nowhere near our corner of the internet and get the same message to them in a format that they could understand and that they would actually look at and comprehend and consider and slowly wake up these other people and slowly pull them over to our side and start to really understand what's been going on that most people didn't know about, understand, or believe.
That is so true. And that's something too that I know patriots who follow me, I really, really resonate with, Robert, because I started early on when Q first hit the boards, I was reading it. But there's something you said, you know, with your book that you mentioned the other night, that the understanding the problem back in 2012. And I'm going to just anecdote that a little bit, because in 2008, I was in Afghanistan. I think you were too. I was over in Gardez, and I was actually out of Gardez. I was down in a place called Fab Lili, which is right on the Pak border, and the Hussein element got elected. And I'm telling you, we realized then, and I had just done an article for Arianna Huffington of Huffington Post, and I put it online of soldiers giving their position on the election. And what I was stunned at, and literally in this article I put up, and I had written at that time for Huffington Post a number of times as the only conservative, let's be clear, there was about 3,000 hate notes under that article within about 5 hours. And that was uncommon. And it suddenly hit me at that point that we were dealing with an insurgency because it was an information war. And it was very clear. And it was like, wow, something's wrong here, because I know blogs as you do. You don't get that sort of traffic even on big sites unless that's been targeted, right? And it was from that point that I'm, you know, going forward, there was a lot of meetings with some of my special forces buddies and really like, what are we into? And so you went on and you, in this book, tell us a little bit about that, because you've talked about that, how you kind of shaped out the problem in around 2012. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, 2012 was when it was published. And so I can't really put a good handle on exactly when I figured out before. But there was all these different things that I had seen in my time in uniform and then in my time out. So the Pact Trilogy is a story. It's a fictional trilogy about China, Russia, and Iran coming together to invade the United States, right? It's kind of an updated Red Dawn through a special forces ODA's perspective. Significantly different, but that's the best way for you to comprehend. And the way that it came about, my old ODA, after I'd gotten out, we went and had some, we had a party together where we all kind of linked back up and had some adult beverages. And at the end of the night, we sat around the table and started talking. And we were wondering, you know, the United States of America, we have more resources than anybody else in the world. You know, China was trying to get resources from anywhere they could. We've poked so many different bears in the eyes and picked so many fights. Why have we never truly been invaded? We had enemy on our shores in World War II, but we've never had a full-scale invasion here in the USA. And so, you know, you get a group of Green Berets together. We had people that had been in the OIF invasion, OEF invasion, people, you know, had been all over Bosnia and just all over the world in every conflict over the decade. And so we really started drilling down on that and saying, okay, well, if it does come, who would it be? And if they do it, how would they do it? And how would we know? What would be our indicators that it was coming? And we just, you know, started talking about it throughout the night. And at the end of the night, we created a pact together saying, hey, we're Green Berets. If this ever actually happens, what are we going to do? We're going to link up at this spot. We're going to defend in place. We're going to repel the enemy because that's our job, guerrilla warfare. And I started thinking about that and went home and started looking at what was going on around the world. And all these other pieces started falling into place, right? So why do we have such a poor southern border and nobody wants to build a wall? Why are we not as focused on border security as we should be? We've known since 2002 that the cartels and Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah were working together. These Middle Eastern terrorist groups would train the cartels street soldiers based on tactics they learned in the Middle East. Cartel would help smuggle their sleeper cells in the United States. We know that all of our enemies were starting to have military exercises together, that Iran and Russia had developed these energy deals. We knew that China was trying to move the world off of the petrodollar and the dollar as the reserve currency. We saw all these different things. Oh, and by the time Book Two came around, trying to bring unvetted refugees from the Middle East in here and calling people racist for saying, hey, you should probably check these people out and make sure they're not terrorists. Started putting all these different pieces together and realizing it was all moving towards one ultimate objective, right? Why would you do all of these different things if our enemies were planning an invasion of the United States and we had people, it was going to be an inside job. We had people from our own government who had been fighting over these completely logical things that you would do if you wanted to protect your nation. And they were fighting against the tooth and nail. And it all led up to one ultimate conclusion. And so I started writing it out. And the more I wrote it out, the more I would research, the more I would dig into these different little pieces and see these things that had been going on in our country that just, it didn't make any sense for any other conclusion. And I've met several high-level intelligence people that confirmed my suspicions when I wrote the second book that told me, yeah, this is absolutely in cards. If Hillary had won, it would have been lights out for America. That was the ultimate plan.
Patriots, I want to just express to you for myself just what a great conversation this is personally, because in this sort of event, and I think Robert will agree, it's a pretty lonely walk when you start discovering from the access that you have, you start to realize that the group that you're working for has other elements within it that want, and a country that you love, that they truly want to tear it down. I started these sort of digging in about 2008, and I was at myself as well working with some ODAs. And then later, when I stumbled on Hillary's, what we will now call the 16-year plan, I was had been working out of Fort Meade. And I'm telling you, you want to have a lonely moment when you suddenly realize that the fabric, you agree, Robert? I mean, the fabric that you're working for, you're looking around going, oh my, I wonder who I can trust now. And that's really where it goes to you. Do you agree?
Yeah. And you can't, there is that lonely period up until just maybe a year or two ago where you really couldn't talk to too many people about it. Not because, you know, you were worried about who they would tell, but you were worried that people wouldn't believe you. They'd think you were crazy. But we've started to see all these different confirmations show up. And now people are starting to realize just how significant the infiltration has been of our media, of our government, of our intelligence agencies. If people have never read, there's a book called Diana West called The Red Thread. And it talks about the infiltration of communists, not communist sympathizers, but legit communists in the intelligence agencies all across the West. And when you really start to understand that we had a CIA director, an FBI director, Christopher Steele from MI6 ran a socialist club and he was at Cambridge, you start to really realize all these very high-placed people in the intelligence agencies who were legit communists. You really start to understand they had everything in place.
Yes, they did. One thing I'd like to touch on, and we're going to, Patriots, I want to highlight again a couple of things here real quick. One, when we finish here at 9:45 Eastern or Pacific, what am I doing here? When we finish here in about 15, 20 minutes, it's only because on this platform, I'm limited to 3 hours. But what we're going to do is we're going to continue this conversation next Tuesday, and I'll put it up on Twitter. Robert and I are, and I really want to dig into that. And then again, there's going to be another show at midnight Eastern time. So tune in again later, and we're going to dig into some other stuff. But Robert, I want to kind of go back to what you were saying there, and it's the infiltration piece, because that part is the most disturbing. And it's a lot of the people that we turn to trust. We really, even in particular in the intelligence agency. And for me, it goes back to that transition from OSS, which is quite rightly what now is SF's mission, Special Forces mission, and that transition to CIA. Would you agree?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. And you really start to learn about Operation Paperclip, things like that, that are really in the public sphere now. They just made an Amazon movie with Al Pacino, about, it's all based around Operation Paperclip, the Hunters. If people haven't watched it, that's the whole onus of the show. It's a group of people that are hunting down these Nazis who were brought into the United States, places like NASA, our intelligence agencies, and all across kind of our government. And these things used to only be able to be whispered about, but now it's very much in the public sphere. Now people are starting to understand there were a lot of things that we did. And there was a point in our history where we would say, well, they did it for the greatest good, right? We got out of Wernher von Braun, we got NASA, we got space shuttle, space station, and all these different, you know, we got the ability to build ICBMs and all this other stuff. But you look at some of the other things that they've done, and, you know, things that I haven't confirmed, but it was some of the people that came here, the Nazis that came here under Operation Paperclip, that started things like the MKUltra project and different really off the books, just disgusting stuff that was done by our intelligence agencies. And you really start to realize that maybe it wasn't all for the greater good. Maybe there was something else in there that we didn't know about.
That is absolutely true. And I think that's the one thing that we really see here is the corruption of the civilian side. And one of General Flynn's big pushes, and it happened, I saw it firsthand in about 2010, because I was actually doing some work out of the Counterinsurgency Academy in Kabul. And he was bringing in his people to train in the COIX, which were a downrange intelligence cell, very local to the fight. But he was also at that time, General Flynn was doing a lot of work at DIA to create a fabric of an operation that would completely replace the CIA. And it wasn't too long after that they declared war on him. And we see where that is now.
Yeah, a lot of people don't really, you know, everybody knows about the CIA. Everybody's read books. You're seeing movies about the CIA. The DIA has done a really good job of keeping a much lower profile. But for people that don't understand, the DIA is as big, if not bigger, than the CIA, but it's under the Department of Defense along with NSA. They have better humans. They have a lot of better stuff because they've worked post 9/11 on really building it out. And General Flynn did so much for our intelligence network and collect. What people don't understand is that prior to him coming in under JSOC and changing things around, soldiers would get intelligence off the battlefield and have to send it back to Washington to, you know, bounce around in the different levels of approval there before Washington sent it back. People that didn't have any experience on the front lines of war would have to send it back with a decision, and it would take days. And, you know, in Afghanistan, by the time it would get back there, a lot of the intelligence was worthless because it lost all the time. They were so successful, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, because they went old school. They knew that to defeat a lot of our intelligence, our high-tech stuff that we had begun focusing on, all they had to do is go old school and go word of mouth, face-to-face, dead drops and dead letter drops and things like that, that could, you know, defeat all of our great technology that can look into your cell phone systems and GPS tracking. None of that matters if people don't have phones on them and they're meeting face-to-face and it's in a place where you don't have any microphones. General Flynn really, really revamped that system and made it so that intelligence is actually usable again. And it's just one of the amazing things that he did for the country, but especially for the intelligence community.
Oh, absolutely.
They tried to fry him.
Absolutely. I mean, Patriots, so you understand, and some of the little details that Robert's referring to, all the phones in Afghanistan have what are called SIM chips, which is the way we used to have phones. And so the Taliban would either not carry a phone or they would buy these replacement chips, which is what links you to the network. And they would, I knew, I knew Taliban because that was part of my job, that literally carried five phones, and they would have 5 and 10 SIM chips per phone. And the way they would work is they would make a single call, take a chip, break it, dispose of the chip, and then they put a new chip in. So it was extremely difficult to trace a call to who it was and have a consistent number to name type connection. And they would end up doing what we basically call skipping, because they would be on a new number all the time. So that sort of method was extremely difficult to unpack and crack. And that was just some of the amazing work that General Flynn was able to put together. Do you agree, Robert?
Yeah, well, they had, you know, they had a lot of different methods they'd use as well. They had different internet cafes that they'd use for their communications. And then, you know, some of our task force got together specific types of teams that could go and track them down immediately. They had, interesting enough, there's a specific task force within the JSOC that has a lot of the same methodologies that they invented in Iraq and Afghanistan that are in the Q drops, specifically talking about methods that the deep state here used to communicate, you know, via Gmail with, you know, in the draft folder without actually sending them. There's a specific unit in JSOC that was part of General Flynn's command that actually tracked down a way to hunt down those people that were doing that, the insurgents that were doing that. And just some of the methodologies and some of the stuff that they figured out, really, it boggles the mind, but it shows kind of the ingenuity and just the level of high-speed people that we have in JSOC and throughout our military and in the DIA.
This is absolutely true. Just so I say it, JSOC is Joint Special Operations Command, and that's a combination of kind of the best of the best of all the joint special of all the special operations teams, and they come together under a separate command, and then they have underneath that, there's Green Berets, the teams that connect directly with them. There's SEAL teams, there's others. So that kind of gives you an idea what Robert's referring to. And it's an amazing organization that protects this nation and truly is, as Robert said, cutting edge. Robert, what would you say is probably one of your most, I'll use the term awakening moments since you've come into the civilian side of this fight in helping patriots?
That's kind of a tough one. You know, I would say that I was awakened, you know, I don't know, as a kid, there are so many things that I would see that just didn't add up. I know that I think differently and I communicate differently than a lot of people. My brain is always off in 10 or 20 tangents at any single time when I talk to people. You know, mid-conversation, my brain is trying to figure out all these different things that are going on, what they're talking about, and, you know, going on in the world. And it just, a lot of the things that we had learned didn't add up for me, didn't make sense. So I've always been one of those people where if I don't understand it, it's something, I'm gonna research, I'm gonna study it until I get it, until I truly understand it. And so I just, there were so many things as a kid that I was, you know, I'd pick up books, I'd try to really figure out what was really going on. And I'd follow a lot of rabbit holes, and, you know, other kids my age would be reading Boys Life, and I was checking out books about UFOs and Bigfoot and the Stonehenge and, you know, all these different druids and just trying to figure out what was going on in the world. So my brain has kind of always been like that, even as I've gotten older, about, you know, when I hear something and it just doesn't quite add up for me, or I have competing intelligence or competing information about something else, I drill down. I've got to go through and figure out what it is. And once I learn something and I realize that, you know, that wasn't entirely the truth, I've got to spread it to other people. I have to let people know, like, hey, this, you know, that thing they told us about that, that's not true. It's true. It's this, you know, and I think one of the biggest.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry to even cut you off. You know,
my friends, they just kind of get it. That's the thing about me. And it's funny, with all the people that have reached out over the last 2-3 years saying, oh my God, you were right.
I'm going to echo that conversation, because I was that kind of crazy dude when I was over at working out of Fort Meade, which was a group called Asymmetric Warfare Group. And I was with Dog Squadron, and I'm laughing because that exact sentiment, I was talking about our upcoming, and this is in 2013. I was briefing like, look, our greatest threat is a corporate information war. It's what's emerging. They're using private assets to wage truly a psyop on the US. And I was getting the tilted head look, like, yeah, okay, dude, like, okay, you're just that weirdo. And I know you, what you just said, you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about. Cause now I'm getting the calls of like, dude, you're right. I'm like, uh-huh. I was just trying to warn you, you know, but that's okay.
There was a meme that I saw just a couple of months ago that and they don't often do this, but it made me fall out of my chair laughing. And it was a meme about RoboCop, and it had a picture of RoboCop, and it said, like, remember back in the 1990s when they made a movie about all the evil corporations all came together and tried to take over the world? And you're like, oh yeah, that's kind of where we are. You know, it's nuts. I mean, that's capitalism is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world in terms of socioeconomic paradigms. But people have found ways to contort it and use it to their own advantage. That's, you know, one of China's biggest strengths against us was finding our corrupt politicians and business leaders and hedge fund managers who were willing to take some money on the other under the table in order to commit treasonous acts. So it's our greatest achievement, I think, is to make a working capitalistic society, but it's also something that they thought was going to be our downfall.
I totally agree. Excuse me, Robert, I need to read a tweet that just went up 5 minutes ago from General Flynn, and this is really big. It says, steady, digital soldiers, steady. Success breeds success. Mainstream media has done another disservice, so trust your own research and each other. We will achieve another major victory for American greatness. And he ends with a strong arm, prayers, and flag. So again, Patriots, just a reminder, and Robert, I'm sure you're going to agree with me, don't pay much attention to polls tonight. They are twisting stuff left and right. I've already seen it. Have you?
Yeah, well, and that's the scary thing. You know, so a lot of the people that we were told to trust as conservatives, most of us are taught Fox News. It's our outlet. And I saw, you know, I've been bouncing between intel streams and election stuff and listening ears throughout the night. And I saw that Fox News called Virginia with 0% polls reporting. And then everything I was looking at leading up to calling in was saying, nope, looks like Virginia is actually going for Trump. President Trump had a, you know, pretty wide margin when Fox called it for Biden in Virginia. And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Information warfare.
It is. And this is the epitome of information warfare, Patriots. It's literally like creating a deception of truth right before you because you've co-opted all the agencies in a true sense of like, if we're reaching into another country, we would have hacked everything. Robert, I'm going to kind of go here and just ask you for some last thoughts. And then are you you are available next Tuesday for a show? Okay.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to have a time limit on that. This is just the platform. This is part of what we have to deal with, but we're going to have 3 hours if we want to go next week and we can talk about everything. I really want to Patriots. We're going to get into Robert's books next week. We're going to talk more about some of his new projects. We're going to talk about some stories he and I can share and give you some insight into Afghanistan. And on all these links, when I post this interview tonight and we do next week's, you're going to find all of Robert's links so you can support his organizations and buy his books. Please buy his books when you do so. And Robert, those are available on Amazon, right?
Yep. They're all available on Amazon.
Okay. So Patriots, we will make sure that is all available for you because this is a great Patriot we're talking to tonight. And a combat veteran from Iraq and Afghanistan, Special Forces. Don't get much better than that. So, Robert, just some final thoughts for us tonight, and then I think we'll close with a prayer, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think people, you know, we for the last several years, our eyes have been opened to how deceptive our media is, right? And I totally believe that the Vietnam War, a big part of our, you know, harm that happened in the Vietnam War was our own media that had already been infiltrated by communists who were specifically trying to turn the American populace against the military and against our country. They were starting that early. And we've learned over the last several years, everybody's eyes have been opened to how deceptive and devious our media is. Yet when something comes out that can be spun as scary news or disheartening, a lot of people still, for some reason, buy into it and believe it without, you know, the 48-hour rule, waiting to see when the hoax is disproven, which usually happens within 48 hours, or getting any other confirmation. They immediately allow that fear to set in, and fear is a disease. You cannot let fear overtake you. You've got to keep that rational brain working. You know that they're lying. You know that this is information warfare. You know that they're trying to deceptively keep people on the West Coast from voting because they can twist election results on the East Coast, and they want to make it seem like it's a Biden landslide and they were correct in their earlier predictions. Don't buy into it. Okay, research. We've learned this. Research. We know they're going to try to lie. You know they're going to try to twist everything. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into the fear. Do your own research. Trust yourself. Trust your eyes. Okay, we've seen the President Trump rallies with hundreds of thousands of people over the last week at a moment's notice and materialize because they have so much support for our president. How many has Joe Biden had? Maybe a dozen here and there, maybe three or four that were non-journalists. Believe what you've seen. You know in your heart what is true. Okay. Just don't let them try to twist reality and drive you into a panic and disenfranchise voters on the West Coast. We're getting our country back. We're finally doing it. That's not fumble the ball on the 1 yard line.
That's great words. So Patriots, really pay attention to that. Remember that at midnight Eastern time, there's going to be another Bards FM show. So please tune back in. Robert, I'd like to close with a prayer, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time we have had. We've shared here with a great combat veteran and patriot of America. And we ask that you'll continue to bless him and all that he does as we pray for the blessings for our nation and pray for the blessings of all of our patriots. Lord, we want to thank you for bringing so many people here today to listen to these stories, listen to this, the conversations about making America great, truly reviving the soul and spirit of what it is to be a strong Christian in faith and a strong patriot, the true sense of faith and knowledge. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to guide us in these coming days, to guide us through these difficult times, to see through the deceptions, to find strength in the foundations of all that you provide, to give us strength in each other and confidence in all that we knowing that you will deliver and that you have won this war. And Lord, we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you and God bless and have a great night. So thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like the channel, please hit subscribe, like the episode, and share it on your favorite social media forum. The Bards FM podcast can be found on Podbean at www.bards.fm. You can also find the Bards FM podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, and BitChute by entering Bards FM in the search bar on the respective apps or websites. Also remember to check out Bards of War Fighting is Everything documentary at bardsofwarfilm.com. That's bardsofwarfilm.com. Buying a copy helps support these podcasts and future film projects. And if you would like to support the channel with a donation link is below. All podcasts are written and produced by Scott Kesterson. Opinions expressed are the individuals only. Interpretations of events are the sole rights and opinions of the podcast presenter and guests. Bards FM, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, and Expedition Cafe are trademarks of Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. All work is owned and copyrighted by Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. Thank you again. You have been listening to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, out for now.